I'd never forget.
Now there are no federal agencies, so how am I ever going to get a passport?
Yikes. Just get your shots and then it's gone. That's, you know, that's
get it from
start.
R. Kelly. R. Kelly will issue.
He should be a passport agency.
Passports, I'm giving you your shots.
Is there an over-under on when the government will reopen?
Bring
that up. Hold on.
Don't answer. We're already rolling. Just go.
Oh, we're rolling?
No, not yet. Hold on.
What?
No, it has to open with...
This is all staying in there.
Two.
And welcome to the best of Drew and Mike. And we're brought to you by Realtor Scott Kunith of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. To see what your home is worth or help in finding a new one, call Scott or text him at 248-797-7746. Do many people say, when they give a number out, do they say text or call? I think that's good.
That's the new thing, yeah.
But do other people say it? I mean, is that an ad? I don't hear that ad. It's like
call or text. We've had other advertisers that say text.
I think so.
Okay.
Then you can maybe hit them up on Facebook. I don't know.
I think you're the first.
Maybe you can email. Does anybody email anymore?
We get a fair share of email. I love the email we get because a lot of people send links to stuff.
Yeah, fact, we're different. Though.
And I get audio.
Somebody sent us, maybe he's listening, somebody sent us a link to an old friend of his horrible cover of System of a Down. I guess the guy's a band.
What? Where is that?
The video's unavailable, and I was so bummed. I can't tell you how excited I was when I hit the link. I'm like, I'm going to see a horrible cover.
I think it was Rage Against the Machine. He sent it to me, too. Wasn't it Killing in the Name of Rage Against the Machine?
Yes. Yeah. Did you get it? I mean, is the video
It doesn't
available?
Work. Yeah. Oh, thank okay. you. His name is Jared. Can you resend it?
In a better format.
Come on, dude.
Cell phone blows.
You need to see that.
Sending those emails.
If you want to email Scott Kunith, it's S. Kunith, SKUNNATH, at CBWM.
And I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
And I was wondering, as we're getting started here, if Vegas has... Okay, I'll set this up by saying this. I received an email from somebody who's doing interviews, and they have an over-under on the number of times Colton's virginity will be talked about on The Bachelor in the entire season.
Oh, wow.
And I think it was 75.5.
How many total episodes?
There's got to be like 13 or 14 because they have...
It's got to be more than that then.
Yeah, it's probably like 17 because they get...
Mentions.
I don't know. I think it'll get old. I think it'll be a lot early. And
I don't think they worry about things getting old because remember Amazing?
Oh, yeah.
How many times Amazing?
There's going to be 25 after...
In Journey.
Every time he bangs a chick and he goes, you just took my virginity. So he's going to say it 25 times.
There's that.
An amazing day with Estella. She has an amazing energy about her.
This amazing place.
Thank you for such an amazing day.
I'm in a situation with two amazing women. I have amazing feelings for you.
How dumb does this sound? It kills me.
I really hope it's with this amazing man.
An amazing woman.
It was amazing getting to know them. This amazing journey. Your amazing family.
Everything you've given to me has been amazing.
We definitely have an amazing connection.
And then it goes on for another 45 seconds.
When you say things like that.
I think you're amazing.
It loses its meaning.
Do we have the original amazing?
I think you're amazing.
Michael, what's his name?
Alex Michelle.
I think you're amazing.
Or that Alex Michael.
I have had such an amazing time with you.
I think we're going to get on the US.
Alex Michael. But he had the one.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
It just sounded so phony. I think you're amazing. And he talked like Butthead a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
God, there's so many Butthead talkers.
There are.
What do you think's up with that dude?
John Gosling.
Well, they couldn't find him for the reunion show. They said, we couldn't find Alex Michael.
He was probably watching going, no. I'm right here on my couch.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to this line. After the airing of The Bachelor, Michelle returned to the business world and did a variety of media projects. He became a spokesperson for Match.com.
Oh, he's the worst. He was the worst bachelor ever. He was a total tool. I can't believe
what's this dude look like.
He was. I thought he looked like a douche. Honestly, Trista put out for him too. That's amazing.
So did Big Titty Amanda.
Yeah. Once you're the bachelor, every girl will put out for you. Potentially, you know.
Oh God.
I can tell you, looking at him compared to like the hunky bachelors today, boy, is that show evolved.
Whoa. Why would you?
Because he was first.
I think they thought
the businessman look was the bachelor look.
Really? The weak chin was the bachelor look?
I don't know.
I found him on LinkedIn. He's a digital media executive in the D.C. area.
I bet.
How can you believe Trista put out for him?
He's the co-founder of this company. It's a media and technology startup company operating in stealth mode.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
From his house.
Can you check Celebrity Net Worth to see if Alex Michael's on there, Brandon?
Wow, he worked at Microsoft for 7 years. He was head of strategy. In the UK. He lived in the UK.
Okay.
I think they just shuffled him off there to get rid of him.
Why is it the Bachelor on his LinkedIn?
Anyway, the reason I was brought up the Bachelor and the over-under for Colton's virginity was because I was wondering, is there an over-under for the government reopening?
No.
Oh.
But where would you, okay, if we all had to guess, we've all guessed on Pete Davidson and when he will be back on social media.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I only got a few days left.
I believe you and I are out.
Oh.
I have the 15th of this month. Figuring he'd get out to promote the new episode of SNL.
Brandon would be the winner
on
the
16th. I have Valentine's Day.
Although, what if you go over? Are you out if you're over, like Price is Right?
Yeah, $1. Next December.
Huh.
Over 100 for the government.
No, Brandon wouldn't be the winner until February 1st, approximately, or the 31st.
But I don't think anything's going to change until more people quit the TSA. And when individual people have their lives affected.
But how many days?
They're already.
How many days do you think is it going to come up to? Because it's what, 20 now?
I'm going to say well after January.
Let's see. Today is the 12th. Saturday the 12th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking February. Maybe that's too optimistic. I don't know.
Like the same day Pete Davidson comes back on social media then?
No, it could be very close. I'm going to say February 10th because it's Triple Threat Trio member's birthday.
That's my dad's birthday too.
Oh.
All right. Cool.
Happy birthday, Dad.
I'll go with the 15th because that's my dad's birthday.
When's Homeless Al's birthday? Do you know?
Charlotte's.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
Brandon.
I want to say one of the M months.
The 13th because that's Zoo's birthday.
Oh,
February 13th.
We're doing birthdays.
Oh, there's a lot of like Maz's birthdays in February too.
What's this? Is the 18th?
I don't know.
I'm embarrassed that I know.
For him, it's a month long celebration.
Of course.
Happy birthday to him. I don't care.
Okay. So, was there anything else we wanted to cover?
I got a question. Do you have your passport?
No.
Do you have your shots?
Neither.
Do you want to come with Rob to America?
That song is so stuck in my head.
Hey, you can't knock his genius.
No. I thought about that, too.
Because
that's
the
worst song he's ever done.
And
it's the worst song anyone has ever done.
Well, next to Wesley Willis's Drew and Mike song.
Yeah, at least he mentioned us.
Close.
On the show.
I think if you put that dun, 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 on the John Kerry song by Stevie Wonder, it might be a good
Kerry
song.
To carry us to America. Barack Obama.
I do have one top 10 list that was sent by Mark J., and I thought it was interesting. It was the top 10 Led Zeppelin songs. Remember I mentioned Stairway to Heaven had made Led Zeppelin, was it like $560 million? I mean, that's insane. Was it that much?
It was an insane amount.
Maybe it was $56 million. I don't know. It was a lot of money. It was a few hundred million dollars. Anyway, so it's the list of the top 10 moneymakers for Led Zeppelin in the digital age through streams.
Ooh.
So we know Stairway, I'm pretty sure it was 500 and some odd million dollars. I mean, it's just a shit ton of money. In the digital age, in the last, I believe it's 12 years, what do you think the number one earning Led Zeppelin song is?
Well, it's got to be
digitally.
Stairway.
It's Stairway.
Yeah.
How much do you think they've earned off that? And consider that
digitally,
it's over 500 million before digital.
1/1000th of a cent for each.
This is only streams. Now, I think if it was optioned for a movie or something, that would go into the larger total.
Are we talking per year?
No, altogether.
Altogether?
Yeah.
5 million.
2.9 million.
That's ludicrous.
I know. That's really funny. I mean, that's still a lot of money.
Rip-off.
Yeah, total rip-off. Number two, anybody want to guess?
Rock and Roll.
Cashmere.
Days of Confusion.
Black Dog.
No.
None of it?
Immigrant
What'd
song.
You say?
I said Kashmir.
Oh, Immigrant Song because of Thor Ragnarok, because it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like good, present. Good
call. Immigrant Song is number three.
Whoa.
Number two is.
Ramble On.
Yep, Kashmir. Only 1.4 million. That's 12 years of streams, 1.4 million. Immigration Song, 1.3 million. Black Dog, Immigration Song, the Immigrant Song. Black Dog, 1.1 million.
Really?
And there's five more, and I just want to mention before I read the last five that the interesting thing about this list, and I'd love to see this for all my favorite bands, is it's based on, and the story was talking about this, how these numbers in the digital age, even though they might be low numbers, they tell you what songs the consumer, if they're picking that band's song, which ones they like the best, because they're all personal streams.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool. Maybe I overstated my case.
But it could be also too common, you know, because you just know those songs.
Yeah, and radio's affected you.
Younger people that really don't know a full album.
Right. They're the top singles, I suppose, you'd say.
It's all right, though. It still means some.
Yeah.
What do you think it is for the Beatles? I bet you it's...
Yesterday.
Might be... Come Together. Yesterday's up there. Come Together is always really high. Hey Jude is always really high. I've seen the digital list.
Help.
I don't think they've updated it, but it's always... Here Comes the Sun is right up there at the top. Come Together.
Help's got to be on fire because of that Google ad.
It is. Help's kind of a thing right now. Hey Jude, Blackbird. Sorry, Maz.
Nah.
Yesterday, nah. Strawberry Fields. A Day in the Life is always up there.
Help for My Friends. Help for My Friends. It's got to be up there.
I don't think it's that high. Let It Be is really high. I think it's pretty much the top four. But yeah, that is really high.
Is it?
Yeah, it is high. And
Lovely Rita, the Fats Domino version.
I'm sure that would crack the top 10 if it was allowed.
Do you think anybody at Spotify is going, why is that song just spiked in the last 3 months?
I wonder how many
in Detroit for some reason.
If you check it on YouTube, how many streams does Lovely Rita by Fats Domino have?
Not enough.
Well, there's actually a couple of them.
So
this
good.
One
it's
has
so
101,000 views.
What?
Yeah, naturally. It's awesome.
101,000? I wonder if Lovely Rita by the Beatles has many more.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Come between us.
But there's so many of them that you'd have to add them all together.
Can't there just be one? Why do they have all these different...
Ooh, this is from the official Fats Domino page.
This one has 2,000.
Hey, it's Fats... Fat passed away, right?
He did pass.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
We were unable to criticize him for Lovely Rita or laud him.
We had his number. For
I know
a while.
We did.
I tried calling him a billion times.
That didn't happen in Louisiana during Katrina, did it?
No.
Fats got lost, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was lost and found.
Oh, ironic.
They found him. They got him at the Lost and Found.
Can you describe your singer, please? Well, he's black.
His name is
He's
Fats.
Pretty heavy.
He answers to Fats.
I got a chubby checker.
You put a piano in front of him, he can play it really well. Okay, anyway, the rest of the list was Black Dog was number four. Whole Lot of Love was number five.
Whole Lot of Love, yeah, that should be higher.
Do they do this for other bands like you were saying?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to check, though.
Where is it? Like, what's the...
Yeah,
I'll tell you in a second. Over the Hills and Far Away had $757,000 in digital streams. Going to California, $694,000. Rock and Roll, $636,000. Yeah. And Dire Maker, $553,000. So still $500,000 in streams, but nothing like the old numbers.
No quarter?
No quarter. No Bonzo's Montro. Let me see if I can find. Let's see. Mark sent that. Mark is a rock dog.
All right.
I do enjoy...
I'm messing up the whole record.
I do enjoy our rock dog emailers.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay, what songs made Led Zeppelin the most money in the digital era?
What a story, Mark.
Here's the 100...
It was from Ultimate Classic Rock, but
they
just give the Zeppelin, I think.
You know, there's the 100 most streamed songs on Spotify of all time, led by Ed Sheeran, Shape of You.
Well, those are all going to be new people,
right?
Yeah,
I'm looking for older ones.
Yeah, I wonder if they have a classic rock version of the most streamed songs.
Let's see what the oldest one even is on here. Ugh.
Get out of here.
Take Me to Church is the oldest one I see, and that's 23. Oh, here's 2012. Passenger,
Let Her Go. Huh? I don't know that song.
Okay.
Imagine Dragons, Radioactive.
Oh.
See a Chandelier.
I like that song.
Which was featured on The Masked Singer the other night.
Oh, really?
Spotify's top 10 most streamed Beatles songs. Come Together. Hey Jude, number 2. Here Comes the Sun. Let It Be. Twist and Shout. Blackbird. I Want to Hold Your Hand. In My Life. She Loves You. And Help. Internationally, the list is different. Come Together. Let It Be. Hey Jude. Love Me Do. Yesterday. Here Comes the Sun. Help. All You Need Is Love. I Want to Hold Your Hand. Twist and Shout. I'm surprised these old songs hold up.
Oh my God.
They're all old.
The most streamed songs on a single day. Number 1 is All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Ugh.
This past Christmas Eve, it was streamed 10.8 million times.
Oh, my God.
She probably made $2,000.
I know, what a joke.
Last Christmas, too, that was number 7. It was streamed 9 million times.
So she made the world record for most streamed songs.
XXXTentacion is number 2 all time with the song Sad.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think it was The Day He Died.
Is R. Kelly on there?
Oh, that's a good question, Trudy.
Where's he?
You know, the...
spend hours looking at this stuff.
I just remember there was just a story, and I searched on it, the most streamed classic rock songs of all time. Bohemian Rhapsody is number 1.
Hey, did you
billion.
See that movie is going to be re-released in theaters where you can sing along? Kind of like a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hey, it's coming out on digital.
Is it already?
Like next week.
Like on demand or on...
something? I think so, yeah. I saw... what's his name on Kimmel? Rami Malek.
Some might have been. Did Brandon, did your prep have the side-by-side performance of Queen and Rami Malek in the movie?
Yeah.
Or the Queen, yeah. And they were pretty good.
They did a good job.
They were very loyal.
Here's the most streamed album per release year, but it only goes back to 1990. And
okay.
That's The Razor's Edge by AC/DC. From 1991, Nevermind by Nirvana. Rage Against the Machine, 92. In Utero from 93. It's kind of Oasis, 95.
Cool.
That's kind of interesting.
What? Keep going.
Okay, so what did I skip? It?
Until I hate the list. Keep
94,
going.
Notorious B.I.G., Ready to Die. 95 was What's the Story, Morning Glory. 96, Tupac, All Eyes on Me. 97, Notorious B.I.G., Life After Death. 98, Tupac. It's interesting. They're both dead and killed, and that's why they're...
that always helps.
And then 99, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Californication. But then there's like nothing from 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004. I don't know why.
There's nothing listed?
No.
Smells Like Teen Spirit is the 2nd in the classic rock category.
Really?
Sweet Child of Mine is 3rd.
All right.
God.
Then November Rain and then Take on Me by A-ha. Wow. So it was a big hit, but it's a bigger song I know in Europe.
Yeah, there it is.
And I think A-ha is bigger over there.
People love that video.
What's going on over there in Europe?
Yeah, really?
Generally, when I look at the UK charts, I think they have a much more open mind than we do.
Yeah.
And a lot of those new wave bands that I love, they actually had big hits over there, songs that, you know, that may be well known over here, but they never really were played much on radio, right. And yet they were giant hits over there.
How many views do you think this song has on YouTube? Just on this one. You know, it's uploaded multiple times, but just on this channel.
Is this a popular channel?
Well, no, I'm just...
is it their official channel?
100 million.
815 million.
Wow.
Whoa.
People love that catchy little cartoon thing. Hey, it comes to life.
That's a really old song to have that many streams. That's quite something.
Look at his hand.
Yeah, I remember thinking this video is kind of stupid. Apparently, people like it.
This video is kind of stupid.
This video is like weird.
Possibly the worst video ever.
I cannot believe how often my brain thinks that's like weird. I seriously, all the time, anything strange, I go to Gosselin.
It was like weird.
Go to therapy and figure it out. The most forceful he's ever been.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
Jeez.
Has he popped, has he bobbed up since the April Fool's joke when he broke the internet?
He said so much more was to come.
You know, he pops up because one of their 30 kids, I don't know how many are there, 8? No, they're, yeah, Johnny Cooper's 8. The one kid is like a problem child, so he's been fighting for custody.
Yeah. And he when's that reality show?
He actually got custody of the kid, I believe.
Really?
That's true. Which, he did make the news for that.
We never talk about it because who gives a shit?
True.
I'm like a responsible father.
He's pretty much
ignored. I just broke the internet.
7 of his 8 kids, so I don't want to give him too much credit.
My kid hath mental issues, and I am taking care of him.
Just get him a butt.
Ooh.
Everyone wants to know why I did this.
Top 100 classic rock songs on Spotify. That might be interesting.
I get it. Stay tuned for more in 2017.
Nothing happened.
I didn't hear anything in 2017. Did anything happen in 2018?
Maybe we should get on with the countdown.
I do want to
2019.
I do want to wish somebody a recovery after a surgery.
Yes.
And I do want to say thank you for sending me some audio. We did receive this.
I'm not listening.
We received this. This one.
Wait. Someone sent us farts that they recorded while they were recovering from surgery.
Yeah, take a wild guess.
I think it's the person that can no longer be mentioned.
Yeah.
And here's my favorite.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Brandon asked me earlier if I wanted to hear him, and I said no. And he said, why? I said, because I want Jim to know that I would not listen to him because that would hurt his feelings.
Hi, Jim. Thank you.
But now I've heard him.
Twice, because you had to hear it at the beginning of the show, too.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Jim.
Scott Kunath brings you the best of Drew and Mike. Scott worked 26 years in sales and advertising. Actually, we worked with Scott at The Riff for quite a while. But due to changes over there, he's gone into real estate, and he's going on 2 years now and going strong. And he would love to work with you, or if you want to refer someone to him, we're trying to make him one of our regular podcasts. He was going to go off in December and January because kind of slow real estate season, but he's staying with us because I think if we just keep Scott going, we'll get him some good business. And we have gotten him some, and we're hoping to get him more, whether it's from you or if you want to refer someone to Scott, he will pledge to you to call you back in a timely manner. If you want to text, he's happy with that. If you want to call, that's good too. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying and selling process. If he doesn't know the answer, he'll get it. And his word is his guarantee. And Scott, have you seen Scott interacting with our listeners on Facebook?
Yeah.
He throws drops around.
Hey. It's great.
He's just like one of you guys, but he knows more about real estate, hopefully. So call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunath of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual. He must be good if he's with CBWM. Aren't they one of the big names around here?
Very much
the
esteemed.
Biggest.
248-797-7746 for Scott Kunath, or you can email Scott at skunath@cbwm. And on the best of, we've got, we have Louis Anderson, but he's not what you're going to hear first.
Because he's in town.
Yeah, and there were a few tickets. Well, that was for Friday night, so yeah. I guess that's not worth talking about.
You can check it.
Yeah, you can check. They might have a few seats. Opening up with Larry Fortensky, of all people, Elizabeth Taylor's husband that she met in rehab, the construction worker, the blue-collar guy she married. And Larry, of course, the most famous thing about Larry is the actual audio we had of him falling down a spiral staircase.
It's amazing that they recorded that.
We thought he was going to die from that. Everyone thought he was going to.
And he finally did die from it.
Actual audio of Larry. And I think
there's something very funny though about the story.
I don't remember what it was, but I do recall that, and maybe I shouldn't talk because it'll probably come up. We probably got into Larry's home he bought when he and Liz split up.
Yeah.
He bought like an $800,000 home and then lived in the recreational vehicle in the driveway and would pee in the bushes, which neighbors know Larry. There's a lot of peeing in the bushes around Elizabeth Taylor because when she married Michael Jackson, of course, Larry's family wasn't allowed to go in Michael's house to use the bathroom, and so they had porta-johns, but they were peeing in the bushes, apparently.
Yeah! Wait a minute.
Wait, no. When she married Larry, his family, not Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was the best man.
Yeah, Michael was the best man. Of course, no.
Michael Jackson was the best man, said no one.
Wasn't
ever.
Jose Ibarra the best man? Because Elizabeth made him the best man. Jose Ibarra, is that the hairstylist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Larry was peeved because Elizabeth Taylor insisted Jose be the best man.
Man, that must have been one hell of a bachelor party. Is that Jose Ibar threw for Larry Fordensky?
It's crazy. But anyway, it's not really an upbeat podcast because we had just found out that Larry Fordensky had died a year earlier.
That was crazy. The amazing thing. Wait, the cover of People was Liz and Larry's wedding album, and it's Liz in the center, Fortensky on the right, and Jackson to the left. So what was
it? Jackson's house. Jackson.
But why is he in the wedding picture? Was he the minister?
I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe I'm wrong about Jose Ibar. Maybe that was Jackson's wedding.
I know. Wait. That's Jose Ibar right there, right?
With a hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then there's Jackson. So one of them's the maid of honor.
Oh, probably Jackson.
That is the weirdest picture.
I know. They look like they're lurking at Elizabeth Taylor's house.
I swear, I think Jose Ibar barely, even, like, he wouldn't know Larry Fortensky in a crowd of one, and he was made the best man because Elizabeth wanted him the wedding. I'm pretty sure that's the way it
went. Wow. What a wild, wild
should look it
should
up.
Not have approved because Larry had a shag.
I know.
Nice he being did. A hairstylist as a star, and you're wearing a fucking hat at the wedding, Ibar.
That was his trademark, though. He always wore
it. He always wore it. That's true.
I'm not going to have him do my hair if he's not proud of his own.
I'm not sure I'd ever wear that hat, to be honest.
That is the best mullet.
Yeah, it's a shag mullet. Yeah.
Now, also on the best of, we get into the wild world of Barry Manilow, and of course, the emotional coming out of Barry Manilow, which was recent.
Yeah.
No one had any idea he could be gay.
Glad he finally had the courage to come out.
He surprised us all, and yes, he did show great courage. And
how long had he been gay at this point?
That's a great question. What, 50 years? 60 years?
I mean, he'd been living with a guy his entire career,
right?
It was
his manager, wasn't it?
I think he was. Weren't they married, too?
Yeah.
I want to say it was pretty strong gay bond there, but he hadn't told anybody. It's crazy. So everybody just thought they were roommates.
Right.
I guess. Also, we have Dr. Dow.
Yeah. Oh.
Remember Dr. Dow, the man that was dragged off the plane after they... Didn't they substitute a congresswoman in his seat or something and said, oh, it's crazy. You don't have a ticket after all. After he was seated. And he's like, no, I'm on this plane.
Was it a congressperson that they wanted to put in there?
I think it was a female congresswoman.
Wow.
Maybe that was another plane where they threw someone off. But anyway, we all know Dr. Dow dragged off the plane by security. It was ugly.
Yikes.
And I think in the end, Dr. Dow got a nice settlement. So it was a very happy ending to the story.
No one knows what happened to him.
Yes. He went home.
And then we'll wrap it up with Louis Anderson, who is helping Mark Ridley celebrate 40 years at the Royal Oak Comedy Castle.
I know!
Bravo.
And there's talk of someone even making a guest appearance.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Isn't Mark Ridley?
Mark is going to bring him on stage.
Yeah, Mark hasn't taken the stage in a while. I've been to the Comedy Castle and seen Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He is no stranger to opening shows or emceeing, and he's very smooth. And I hope they have a great night there because 40 years is a long time. And very few things, how many things have been here for 40 years that have just stayed the same?
I know. Yeah.
Comedy Castle. And think of all the comedy clubs that have come and gone.
Yeah.
The Hunter House. Oh.
I know.
Oh.
Sad.
And that may be, what's going on with the Hunter House?
They're going to demolish that sucker, put a new building, and then there's going to be a Hunter House still, but it's going to be in a brand new building under
I don't know if I'm happy with that.
Why did that have to happen?
At least that whole building will smell like delicious Hunter House hamburgers.
Mm. Well, that's okay with me.
Strong scent.
I love...
I want to eat them right now.
I think I might have to go get some Hunter House hamburgers.
I know.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, now.
I love those little buggers.
Yeah.
So, Louis Anderson wraps up the best of Drew and Mutt.
Ow! That came out of my penis!
I have breaking news.
Yeah, what?
There's been a... celebrity death of sorts.
Oh, no. A new triangle?
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Nice job.
There's a particular drop that goes along with it, too, that we enjoy even on this podcast.
Yeah?
But Larry Fortensky has passed away.
Larry Fortensky?
Dead?
A year ago.
Oh, 1 year ago today?
Passed away a year ago, but it only became public knowledge in recent weeks. If you Google, like, his name, this is the only...
What?
This story is brand new, but this is the only information about it. Apparently, he was, like, hiding away as a hermit, and he died, and nobody knew.
Oh,
and
my God.
Then people found out, and nobody bothered to report it until Radar Online did today.
Hey, way to be in touch with people, Larry.
So it's breaking news from a year ago.
Wow.
How old was he a year ago when he died?
Let's see. Vertensky passed away a year ago, but only became public knowledge in recent weeks. Trident Funeral Service in Rancho Mirage, California, handled his cremation and confirmed he passed away July 7th, 2016, and was cremated on July 17th. Died at a hospital in Fontana, San Bernardino County.
After falling down the stairs?
Yeah.
Well, that was a long time ago, but he supposedly had brain damage from that, but then he was supposedly okay.
There it is.
That was this was drop was originally, or I believe, used with Larry Fortensky. And it was bad. The fall was this bad.
With all the empties at the end.
Isn't that weird, though, that nobody knew until now it's been damn near a year?
Oh, that's really strange.
Awful for him.
Serious Issue Shallow Thought. I have a lot of them, actually. But the first one is, I'm wondering if he had that curly hair perm kind of look he had at the end of his life.
Yeah.
That in the Liz Taylor heyday. He was the guy, he was the construction worker that Liz Taylor met in rehab and married, even though he was like, what, 20 years younger than her, I think?
Yep. Yeah.
And at first, I don't know. You remember how she kind of like spiffed him up and shined him and buffed him and put him in nice suits? And Larry's out there like, yep, a construction worker, but I'm in the Liz Taylor fashion.
You tried.
Fashion watch now.
Tried to conform.
I fit in the red carpet. Just because I'm a construction worker doesn't mean I can't clean up. Look pretty good, damn it. And people were acting like he was hot. And, Liz has even met a younger man.
Here's a story from October 20th.
But then, of course, he turned into quite the
drunk weasel.
Yeah.
Wasn't he living on something on her property?
Yeah,
like
his trailer.
I'm so glad you
in
brought
a trailer?
That. Actually, he had a home. When they divorced, he got there was a firm prenup. Surprisingly, considering how much they were in love, there was a very firm prenup, and he got $1.5 million. He bought a home, but he also had a mobile home, what's the word among
just board? An RV.
Yeah, an RV. Mm-hmm. And he liked staying in the RV in the driveway. And so neighbors were peeved because Larry would get out of the RV and pee in the bushes.
Oh, right.
Instead of like living in the house and using the bathroom.
Get out of my trailer. I want you.
Still a wild man. He couldn't be tamed.
No, he could not. And also,
to go to his cage.
My favorite revelation from the Liz Taylor Larry Fortensky wedding was it was at Neverland at Michael Jackson's crib.
Oh, that's right.
And the Fortensky family was angry because they were not allowed to go in the house to use the restrooms. They had to use the porta-johns outside. What? And the Liz Taylor guests and family were using the john inside in Michael Jackson's house.
What is with the Fortenskys and their urination issues?
I know.
Where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
Yeah, the Fortenskys were not good enough to get anything beyond the porta-johns at a wedding.
Oh, God.
I think there were accusations that they were peeing in bushes, too. They weren't always using the porta-johns.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that got that right.
Protest, at the very least.
Yeah.
Well, and I think they were comfortable, more comfortable in the bushes than in a porta-john.
Oh, imagine how outraged Michael was about all that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, as long as Fortensky's didn't enter his home, I think
he
was pretty happy. I have another revelation, too. There was a little bit of controversy before the wedding because Elizabeth selected Larry's best man and basically forced him to use Jose Hebert.
That's right.
As Larry Fortensky's best man.
The long-haired hairdresser?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And Larry was not friends with him at all.
Oh, no. They would be on so different.
Oh, I know.
Social
circle. Absurd.
Yeah, but at least they had his hair in common.
His hair looked good.
If I was Jose Hebert, I would be like, fuck, I don't want to be this idiot's best man. Are you kidding? I don't even know the fucking guy.
Horribly awkward.
Hair looks terrible.
That is a dead-on impersonation of Jose Hebert, too. Hey, I don't even know the fucking guy.
I do not even know this person. His hair is unforgivable. It would appear if I'm his best man that I'm responsible for cutting his hair. I'm not comfortable with this bit. This is not appropriate. Why would she push Jose Hebert on Larry as his best man?
I don't know.
She owed him money.
That poor guy.
That was good exposure.
Yeah, maybe he got...
He's ripped out of sobriety by Elizabeth Taylor, the biggest drunk in Hollywood.
Yeah, she could not have been in Hollywood, a good influence on Fortensky.
You know, I knew he was drunk when he fell down the stairs. I didn't know why he was allegedly drunk besides being a drunk.
Wait, was he upset about someone's death?
Yeah, his pet.
His pet?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of pet it was, though.
Wow, so it just sent him into a bender.
Yeah, so much so he fell down the stairs. Oh. Now, here's a story from 2015, again, from Radar, who announced his death a year late, but yet beat everybody to the punch. Wow. Elizabeth Taylor's ex, Larry Fortensky, has just months left to live. So they knew he was going to die in October of 2015, in months.
Wow.
And they missed it because nobody cared about Larry.
Oh, boy.
What was he dying of?
Let's see. Elizabeth Taylor's hunky... broken heart. Elizabeth Taylor's hunky blue-collar ex, Larry Fortensky.
He was not hunky. He was never hunky. Why do people say that?
Now resembles a bloated corpse.
Oh.
And friends fear he has months to live. 63-year-old former construction worker.
Oh, friends. Nice friends.
Spends nearly...
I didn't even know.
Nearly Larry all day in
months
bed.
Months to live.
Yeah.
I'm in terrible fear. I'm in mortal fear.
He resembles a bloated corpse, too.
Oh, my God.
Spends nearly all day in bed in his modest rental home, which I thought he had a lot of money from the divorce.
He did, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, the house wasn't kept up very well because he was living in the RV.
His once golden hair has turned virtually white. And he has red sore marks on his puffy, pale face.
Oh, liver cancer, ooh. I bet, right?
Yikes. I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
Larry's a changed man from the days when he squired Liz around, divulged a source.
He did not squire her around.
What's a strapping six-footer?
Appropriate.
What's a strapping?
Strapping?
Six-footer with a
never
golden,
strapping.
Golden mane of hair. And known for being a
out.
I think he called this in. Known for being a rampaging stallion in the bedroom.
What?
Now he's just a bloated, unrecognizable mess who can barely shuffle around his own home.
Oh. Oh, Radar did a hell of a job on this story. I got to give him credit.
He keeps a framed photo of Liz by his bedside.
Oh, he doesn't. Fake! No way. They were divorced. Not only that, he tried to get more cash from her.
That's
it ends with the source's comments. Those who know Larry think he'll be lucky to see out the year.
Oh, God. She's Jesus brutal.
Christ. So sad.
The most unbreaking news in the history of breaking news.
Well, they did this story. Fuck, he's going to be dead soon.
I kind of give him credit, though, for breaking...
Breaking a story a year
late
old?
Story. I mean, they still technically broke the news. So, here's who is gay, everybody.
Oh, boy. Sit down.
I'm out to remind you, or to tell you.
I don't believe it.
Hold on to your dicks.
Barry Manilow is gay.
What?
Yes, Barry Manilow, for the first time, has announced that he is gay. And he didn't come out for decades because he thought it would disappoint fans. And I really gave that a lot of thought as to why he thought it would disappoint fans. Does he think that, okay, first of all, does that mean he thought that the female fans wanted him to fuck them?
Oh, yeah, he's a sex symbol.
Yep.
And did he think that the male fans want him to fuck women instead of dudes?
Well, I don't think his male fans cared because most of them were gay. After all, he got his start performing in bathhouses.
But if male fans were mostly gay, then you'd think they'd want him to be gay because then they could boo for him. Maybe.
It must be about the women fans.
Yeah. So he really, I mean, I often wonder that, though, when people are sex symbols, quote unquote, do they really think that the people would not be their fans if they thought, well, I don't even have a chance of banging him. He's not even the right sexuality for me.
No. See if you remember this one.
I'm not going to like his music. See if you remember this one.
Oh, yeah.
The medley.
He's been with his longtime manager, quote unquote, since 1978. He's been with this dude.
He became his manager after he started dating him.
Yes.
And
he married his high school sweetheart, though.
Yeah.
And he said he was in love with her. It sounded like he was banging chicks for a while there. He said last year.
He also said he never struggled with his sexuality.
But he made it sound like he was perfectly happy with his high school sweetheart.
He was probably banging everything.
I know a lot of guys who are gay. I said, no. That don't have nothing to do with me.
Right.
I'm telling you about a rumor that was out, that's floating around about me before you get caught up into this relationship and find this out from the backside or sideswiped or whatever.
I don't know if you want to say from the backside.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Coming up the road. You know what I mean? He's such a sick guy. He's such a sick guy. But I'm just saying that. Look, that's how it went.
There's some people on Twitter that ask me, ask Cardell this.
Well, are you gay? No.
Are you gay, man?
No.
Are you bisexual?
No. I'm not on the down low.
Is Prince again? That's what people want to know.
I'm not. No.
I'm not bisexual.
No. I'm a 100% man. I don't do no homophobic. I don't do no none of that. There's nothing about no dude that I see.
I love somebody answering a jingle. This is so cool. Are you gay?
No.
But I'm
no.
surprised with Manilow when he sees the...
He's Prince again.
You know, he saw Freddie Mercury and Elton John.
Yeah, no.
Accepted.
He's in the world where people can come out of the closet.
You know, it's a little bit late, but he's an older guy.
I don't think that you know I had something to do with it, okay? Now, when we went out on the road last time, I put it. We had it in the act, you know? And all my artsy friends came to me, all my artsy-fartsy friends came to me.
All my gay friends.
And they said, Manilow, how could you do such a thing? How could you put such a piece of garbage in your act? And then all my trashy friends came to me and they said, I love that medley that you do.
You know what this is, right?
Ah, yes.
It's the jingles.
And so how could I resist? So we're going to do our little VSM for you.
I'm really
now,
looking
next
forward.
Time you hear
Steve,
any
you remember
of this
stuff, one?
coming at you from your radios and televisions, you got to think of us, all of us up here on
hey,
the
just
stage.
Just play the
okay?
fucking song, Barry.
You can turn off your radios and televisions and... See if you remember this one. There's barking at the kitchen, yelling in the hall.
The crowd is going ape shit for commercial jingles.
Gay! And kids in the way.
Mavs would be smiling right now.
See if you remember this one.
Thank you, Barry. I liked what he said about his longtime manager. He said he dealt with, he didn't know who he was when they met in 1978. Yeah. He didn't know. He had, you know, three or four number one hits at that point. Didn't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are. I just want to have sex with you. They dealt with each other like two normal people instead of a superstar and a normal person, as he put it. So I guess Barry is a superstar. We've got the United story queued, I believe, the latest developments. This is, my gosh, this man. I'm surprised he's not going to end up as a $6 million man when it's all over. They're doing so much work on him. Because, as I pointed out, he did manage to run back on the plane.
Yeah.
He shuffled, though. I think I've got him down.
This is a solid presentation.
I have to go home.
Just kill me.
I have to go home.
Yeah, who runs like that?
Why does he take these little
baby really steps?
Tiny baby steps.
It's clearly concussed.
There he goes.
I have to go home.
You're going home. Stop whining. God, he is a drama queen, isn't he?
He really is.
Dude,
what if
United countersued for him being a drama queen?
I think they might win something. I bet the jury gave him $1 to say he was a drama queen, but we really don't think we can award damages based on that.
Yeah. That's symptomatic of a concussion, though, that you repeat things. Like
oh,
that.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Your circular thinking.
Well, he's a doctor, and he knows that, so he could have been acting.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
No, did he look like a guy with a broken nose, smashed sinus? Oh, damaged sinuses.
Two front teeth missing.
Where are the two front teeth? Is he front teeth missing? You thought he had missing teeth?
No, I didn't. I didn't see any teeth missing.
And the concussion, whatever.
Yeah, prove that.
Yeah, how are we going to disprove it, though? His lawyer, I saw his lawyer's press conference today. Oh, my God, was he the belle of the ball?
Yeah, he's pretty slick, that lawyer.
He had an absolute blast. He accepted the apology, by the way, which is his way of saying, we accept the fact that you were wrong.
Admitted guilt.
Asking for quite a bit of money because of that fact. Oh, and did you see the daughter there with her hat out?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah. Pardon me. He couldn't be there, of course, because of his injuries.
Well, he had to get home.
Yes, he's home.
But the daughter
he's
was
perpetrating his lie. going forward.
She, of course, is damaged by all the shitty news about her dad's load background.
Did she really talk about that?
No, she didn't talk about his load background. But she is damaged by what happened to him, which brought out his load background. She's horrified, shocked, and sickened.
Load.
Said her dad is healing, so he couldn't be there because he's too busy healing. But she was there. Oh, she also said He has raised 5 great children who have gone on to great things, including herself, of course.
Whoa.
I mean, what a self-serving comment.
Aren't they all doctors?
4 of them are doctors. Oh, I wonder if she's a doctor. What if she's not the doctor?
Oh, yeah.
The audacity to say all 5 have gone to great things.
She's the one that had the free time today to be at the press conference.
Yeah, it's true. Pretty loose schedule. I bet there's not a waiting room of people waiting to see her. She could hang out at this thing with her hat out. All right, roll the tape. Let's see that. See this debacle.
United flight suffered a concussion, a broken nose, and missing teeth.
By the way, we are on his
side, I guess. As a result of the way he was manhandled when he was reaccommodated, as the airline put it. Now the man's daughter has come forward to say the family is horrified by what happened. And no surprise here.
Of course they are.
She forgot to apply some makeup, some powder to her face. It's quite shiny.
The daughter of the passenger who was dragged off that United Airlines plane is speaking out for the first time.
We were horrified and shocked and sickened to learn what had happened to him and to see what had happened to him.
Crystal Pepper, daughter of Dr. David Dow, spoke at a press conference in Chicago.
Wait, home.
I hope she's a doctor. She'd be Dr. Pepper.
Oh, cool.
Right.
I mean, what other job is she going to do?
Cool.
What happened to my dad should have never happened to any human being, regardless of the circumstance. My dad is healing right now.
What if it happened to Hitler?
Learning that Dr. Dow's injuries were more serious than first reported. He suffered a significant concussion and a broken nose. Damaged
sinuses.
Look
broken to me.
Also, 2 teeth were knocked out. His lawyer, Tom Demetrio, says the doctor will require reconstructive surgery.
Reconstructive surgery?
Last night said that was horrible.
Our president.
I know.
The police officers who dragged Dr. Dow from the plane stormtroopers. All 3 have
stormtroopers.
Come
on. She's a huge asset.
My dad is a wonderful father.
Where's she?
In the press conference.
With my mother. She should be there.
5 great children who have gone on to do great things.
If I do say so myself.
A loving grandfather.
4 out of 5 of his children are physicians. Meanwhile, this scene from the 1980 movie Airplane.
Hey, can we find out if Pepper's a doctor?
With the cheeky caption, United Airlines training video.
What's her first name, Crystal?
Actress Lee Bryant played the passenger who gets slapped around.
I can't imagine that poor man sitting in his seat being so belligerent that they felt they had to do that.
Oh, my God.
Again, this time from a female wrestler from the WWE. Okay. She said,
wait a minute. They went in order to bring that home, they went to the person who played the person who was abused in the comedy Airline.
Oh, was that her? That was the actress?
She was reacting to the scene.
No, was that her? That was her.
They equated it to that scene where she's being shaken. And then they show her watching it. And she goes, that's just terrible. It's great, though. She gets a moment in the sun again.
Inside Edition deserves some kind of an award for that, don't they?
Yeah, that is.
I mean,
what a
person whose opinion to get. Let's see, who else could they have got?
Crystal Pepper is not a doctor.
What?
She's the non-doctor daughter.
How dare she suggest he has 5 great children who've gone on to great things when she's the only one that's not a doctor?
Maybe she has a great thing.
She's probably a lawyer.
Say anything about her? Is she on LinkedIn or something?
I'm looking
for what she does.
I'm looking to see.
I think she's the black sheep, the zero of the family. The only non-doctor. You know she flunked out of med school, or she couldn't get in, or...
Well, I hope she's not a lawyer.
obviously not.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they need a bigger lawyer.
They had people suggesting, though, that someone wrote and suggested that he was the Rosa Parks of...
Oh.
Modern...
Oh. Of bumping,
the
of
Asian
airplane
Rosa
bumping.
Parks of,
oh, come
of
on.
Of modern travel.
He wouldn't give up his seat.
Yes, because he wouldn't give up his
That's
seat.
True. The Asian
the
Rosa
police came
Parks.
On. You know, they came onto the plane.
Well, that's true.
But TMZ, they were kind of debating that whole thing about, you know, the situations are a bit different.
Yeah.
Parks was standing for something. He just didn't want to get off.
Who said he was the Asian Rosa Parks? I mean, who?
somebody messaged the lawyer, maybe it was a tweet or something like that from somebody out there in the
No, I just love I love the concept.
And the lawyer referenced it in the press conference so that
it
would kind of rise to the top, and then he kind of shot it down. We don't have time for that now.
Oh, I think we have Louis Anderson. Louis. Hey, Louis.
Good, Cootie, Mark, what's up?
Oh, I'm so excited to hear your voice, Louis.
Thank you so much. Likewise. How's everything?
It's good. And, you know, I just listened to an hour of your voice because I listened to your Marc Maron interview, which was really good.
Oh, he was good. I scolded him about his mother, but I know I shouldn't have. But
there were some great stories there. I want to mention up front that you're doing Mark Ridley's 40th anniversary, and Mark has brought...
I am?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, right. Jesus. I didn't know. I wouldn't know what this was all about.
Hey, maybe you just called for...
No, I'm kidding you. Okay. For God's sake. Guess who else's 40th anniversary it is in stand-up comedy?
Ooh. Yours.
That's right. October 10th, 1978.
Really?
Wow.
How about that?
So is Mark going to do your show?
No, but we're going to do 80 years. Of comedy, so get ready for a long show.
I want to tell you, I'm sure you know, he was so fired up that you agreed to do this. Because you don't play a lot of clubs, do you, Louis?
I do not.
So this is special.
I do not. I can't get past the smell. No, I'm kidding. I know how many comics have peed in the club. I know how that works.
Anyway,
no, I don't. But Mark has always been so nice to me.
Yeah, he's...
And, you know, we go back a long way. I don't get to play the clubs too much just because, I don't know, you know, you got so many days to do usually, and I just go, I got to get out of here.
But the
Rare Oak is one of my really first gigs where I was, you know, playing, and I just, really? I loved it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So are you going to be here January 11th and 12th and then also come back? The 18th, or stay the entire week?
You'll never know. Unless you come
here
to every single until. Hey! Is that. Damn it! For God's sake!
I'll bring the cookies!
You make every.
You know, I think I. You know, I probably will be there. And not return on the 18th.
Oh.
But I don't, you know what I have to be, can I be completely honest?
Yes.
I don't look at dates way ahead of time.
Oh, neither do I.
Because if you look at dates way ahead of time, then, you know, you're not in the present. And I'm trying to stay in the present at all times. And so I could look that up for you if you'd want, but it might take me an hour.
No, you have better things to do.
I'm going to die.
You know how that goes, right? Oh, yeah. Like I know I've got to be there, and I don't know how long they'll keep me, but I'll do it as long as they keep giving me candy.
Yeah. Louis, it's always fun to talk to people like you who do a lot of interviews, but I always feel like, oh, gee, I want to talk about stuff maybe he doesn't always get to talk about, and I'm glad that I was a fan of the show Splash.
Oh.
And we were talking
Thank you.
Yeah. We were talking about you and Kareem and wondering if you guys were still buddies.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I became buddies with Kareem on the Hollywood Squares.
Oh
yeah.
He was in square 1, 2, and 3. Anyway, you know, because he's so tall, you get it?
Yeah.
And I was the anchor of the show. Good night. And they would never let me sit up, higher than the first one. So I don't know what that meant. No, I really, I love doing the Hollywood Squares. You know, I love game shows. So it was so much fun. And Kareem and I hit it off with some nice talks. You know, he's a very, very bright guy.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't, you know, like he's not the guy you go, Kareem, and throw your arms around him. You know what I mean? He doesn't like that. So you know what I mean? He's a very reserved person, very
dignified,
thoughtful, and he's very introspective, and you know, so I just give them a hard time all the time because it's more fun.
Are you still diving?
What do you really think? They don't let you dive anywhere anymore.
Oh, really?
There's only 3 places in California. Huh. When you get old, all the words aren't available. I requested California, and California came down. remember those 8-ball things you'd shake?
Yeah.
And the words would come up? That's how my brain is. Try again later, Louie. And then because of all liability in the world,
wow.
Where they used to have, remember, they'd have the little board off to the side of the pool a lot of times. They removed all those.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. Lawsuits.
So that's unfortunate. But that show was a chance for me to climb the gym rope, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, because I could never climb that rope at gym because I was too fat. But I really, and I'm afraid of heights, so I really wanted to prove something to myself. And I thought, hey, maybe I could inspire some people. And I ended up doing that. People wrote me and said, you know, I started swimming and I started diving. I really appreciate it. And, you know, those kind of things mean the world to me because I know what it's like to be really a big human being. And people don't understand what it's like because people always think you weigh 200 when you're fat. That's what they think. What do you weigh, 250? No. Huh. Shut up. And but they don't understand. Like, you can't even tell people if you do lose weight, you can't go, I lost weight. And they look you over and go, oh, yeah. And so I just use a metaphor. I go, yes, I've lost some weight. But just picture it like this. You see that forest over there? Pretend there's a spruce missing. But that show changed that show really, and you know, Kareem was so much fun to work with, and honest to God, you know, people don't know this, but we had to do 6 weeks of training at the California, what's it called over there in Pasadena? What do they call those places that aquatic center.
There's your brain looking for a word.
Yeah. I know, aquatic. Well, how often do you use it? Aquatic! Get in here! Damn it!
Get in here.
Get over here. You know what I laughed about, right? I said to them, how come you don't have an elevator up to the third tier of these? I go, for God's sake. I had to jump. I didn't want to walk back down. That show changed my life and made it really, I felt brave for doing it. And
yeah,
it could have been worse too, because there was that situation with former Detroit Lion Ndamukong Suh where he had to save your life. How much of that was real? And how much of that was TV and how much of that was real?
No, well, you know, I don't think they ever, did they ever show that on TV? I don't think
so. Well, there's video, TMZ, I think, was there.
Yeah, they were up on a hill every day. They're waiting for me to take my shirt off. Anyway, not unless you have some beads. So here's the thing. So I didn't realize, you know, when you dive, you know, I never dove before. I just learned to swim when I was 55. So I encourage people, don't ever, you know, worry about how old you are. Swimming, especially if you're an obese person, get in there because you're weightless in there and it's fun.
Yeah.
I dive in to 17 feet of water, okay?
Wow.
Now, when you're diving, and I went, don't kid yourself, I dove in. I wasn't just on surface dive. I went down into the water. And I go, which way is up? You know, you get down. I didn't know which way is up. And I panicked then. And I started going down instead of up. And Ndamukong Suh, what a name, huh?
Yeah.
I'd hate to get it in the spelling bee. Ndamukong Suh, your word, Louie Ndamukong Suh. I pass. He reached in and just he reached in, honestly, because I was really struggling, and he pulled me right up out of the water. Wow. And I said, Jesus, thank you. Can you be here at 5? And but honestly, it was really, because I got scared. Because, you know, you get scared because you're the water, you could drown.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's true. He did it, and he was, you know, he wouldn't really like, you know, he wouldn't take any credit for it or anything, but I never forgot that night. And then I asked him, you know, I think there's a little water in my lungs, so could you step on my chest? And that's like a football joke for you people don't know what the hell's going on in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's
a really nice guy. Let me just tell you, he was one of the nicest people on the show.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that because he was, you know, he had a rap for not being such a nice guy. He played in Detroit for, 4 years? And
we've heard a lot of stories where he was not very nice to the
help. Yeah, but you know what, though? Oh, to the help?
Yeah.
Couple. Oh. Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think actually what happened, you know, I think I have a theory about celebrities who aren't nice if you want to hear it.
Yeah, love to.
They're super shy or just jerks. And I think in his case, you know what I mean? Because people say the wrong thing and people get mad. I think people, you know, because people don't. You know, they don't really know what to do when you're when they come up to you. They're very nervous. They want to, you know, they're trying to connect. I always just, you know, I learned a long time ago, and it was about 20 years ago, I was at the comedy, 25, at the Comedy Store. And I was with a celebrity, I won't say who they are, and they wouldn't sign an autograph for this kid that came up. And the look on that kid's face just broke my heart. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything to the celebrity. But I never forgot that, and I never, ever turned anyone down again for an autograph, a picture, you know, or a ride around the block. And I won't sign your thing, but can you give me a ride down to 7-Eleven?
Slurpee
sale.
Speaking of 7-Eleven, I watched you tell a story about when you had to film a 7-Eleven commercial at 7 a.m. in the morning. But you were in Las Vegas. Can you fill everybody else in as to why you were in Las Vegas needing to get back to L.A. at 7 in the morning?
Well, I was gambling because I had lost some money the night before. So I knew I had a gambling line in Vegas, and maybe I was at a card club the night before in L.A. So I rented a car, like 2 in the morning, drove to Vegas. Maybe it was a little. It was like after the flight. So I think it was like 11. So I drive to Vegas. I had a $10,000 line of blackjack. So I started playing. I got $2,000 of it. I'd lost $80,000 the night before. And I know it was stupid, but.
Hey, Louie, are you fun to play with or do you get angry when you get down?
No. No, I never get mad at anybody. I'm fun to play with. And I don't play anymore except for, you know, if somebody comes and they want me to sit with them because I'm a fearless blackjack player.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so fearless that lost my house. No, no, I'm just kidding. But the house does always win, but not in this case. Anyway, no, and so I had to get that money back because I was all mad at myself.
And that always works, too.
I know, I just felt, and then... You know, and then I got, it doesn't always work, but in this case it did.
What?
And then I had to film a 7-Eleven commercial. So I got an early flight. I won the money back.
Wow.
And I got a early flight. I hadn't slept and I got my 7-Eleven stuff on and I shot the commercial and it was the first time they were introducing food at 7-Eleven, remember? When they decided to have the hot food and stuff, and that's what the commercial was about.
You know,
and so that was 100 years ago, but...
What's missing from that story is, I don't know how you recorded the commercial knowing that in your trailer was a bag full of $100,000 in cash with just a PA guarding it. I mean, that's a lot of trust
on
that.
Have you ever tried to get past the PA?
No, I have not.
They think they're the director of the thing. No, I just, you know, it would have looked funny if I was in 7-Eleven doing the commercial and going with $100,000 in cash stuck in my apron.
Oh, boy. Louis, what do you think, besides the tonight, or I guess the Tonight Show's the obvious answer, I was just wondering, what do you think has been the thing that people most know you for? I mean, there was the Tonight Show, which blew you up, and you
kind of... I think there are five things people know me for.
Okay.
The Tonight Show, number one, mm-hmm. if they're old enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The second thing was a Rodney Dangerfield, his first Young Comedian special. Mm-hmm. The third thing was Coming to America.
Yeah, oh, God, great.
The fourth thing was Life with Louis. Mm-hmm. And the fifth thing was hosting the Family Feud.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
I thought you would do that. I remember when you were hosting it, and you seemed like a perfect host for Family Feud. I was surprised you didn't do that longer.
Well, you know, if you notice that, people only did it for 3 years at a time. It was me, and then somebody else did it for 3 years. It was Richard Karn after me. And then John O'Hurley did it for 3 years. And then they found Steve Harvey, and he was a perfect fit. I mean, you got to admit.
He's great.
Yeah.
No, he won't
give it up. If the smile fits, you must have quit. And, but he's a terrific guy, and I've played it with him, with my family. We lost, of course, because I was like a deer in the headlights. Is this how it is on the other side? And it was a most fun thing, and Steve is a very gracious, sweet human being, and so smart, and he really does it beautifully. The 3 years I did it, well, no one did it better than me, but still, no. But, you know, they're showing him again on Amazon, I think, my episode. So it's fun. I love doing it because in the projects in St. Paul, my dad would be in his chair, my mom would be in the kitchen, and then I would be on the arm of the couch, and the show would come on, and we'd all play it. Hmm. You know, my dad would go, "Fire Mouth! They should be up there! Fire Mouth should have been up there! Who they ask? A bunch of nuts!" And then my mom would always go, "Butter?" And, you know, that kind of thing, and then she would just come in and do that thing, and I was playing it for real. I was really doing it. And so when they offered me that job, I said, this is a really, I do jokes about my family, do cartoon, I write books about my family. I got to be the host of the Family Feud if it's offered to me.
Yeah. Of course. Hey, Baskets wasn't on the list, Louie.
Well, I thought you meant career-wise.
Exclusively you?
Yeah, I did.
You know, I thought you meant, like, leading up to the fact of leading up to Baskets.
I feel terrible about myself. I'm sorry.
No, you know, your phraseology is bad. No, you know what? You know what? I just said, if you were coming to my show, and now Baskets, that, you know, if you want, I'll redo that. You can edit it, and you can look. Baskets is so new to me that I'm still wearing that jacket, or dress in this case, but that it isn't the same. But there are, I have a lot of Basket fans showing up at my shows.
Oh.
And
oh,
yeah. We love you, Christine. I go, what?
Well, we were talking about it before the show, and it seems like season one was, you know, was all Zach and the two brothers, but we really think that they saw, like, oh no, the key here is the relationship with the mom. And it has just taken off since then. Is it?
Well, you know, Zach is such a humble guy. You know, he's such a great guy. He was in an interview recently and he goes, they go, how are you doing? They were talking about Baskets. He goes, it's humbling not being the star of your own show. And I thought that was really sweet of him. But, you know, he's given me such accolades, you know, personally and in the press. But God, it's just such a pleasure to work with such a really great, not just physical comic, but lots of pathos. And then a guy who just treats everybody on the set like, who treats everybody on the set with so much respect and, you know, dignity and that, and sits down and talks with people. And, you know, he's a terrific human being. And so I'm really lucky to work with him. And the part... You know, the part, like, it's a funny thing to me. You know, when I got the job, I showed up for the pilot. You know, I got the job. And then the pilot was like 3 months later, right? And at 5 a.m., I go, I put this weird outfit on, you know? And I never wore women's clothes. You know, I had five sisters, but they used to dress me up as a little girl when I was really little. But but I don't have any recollection of it. So, but I mean, I picked out stuff from the clothes rack thing that I thought my mom or my sisters would wear. And then I went in the makeup thing and got the makeup on. And then they put this wig on me, you know? And my head was so big, they had to cut the wig so it would fit on my head. And then I had a lot of, I go, how am I going to do that? You know, I only had one or two really lines in the pilot. And then I went in there and I was, people all, oh, you look perfect. You know, it was just a lot of that. And then I went to the director, Jonathan Kreisel, who did Portlandia and Men Seeking Women and Saturday Night Live and every other damn thing. And he's a genius. And I went up to him and I go, hey, Jonathan, I'm not going to change my voice.
That's the best part.
And I think that I said, because I'm not going to cartoon this up. I'm going to play it for real. I'm not playing a man playing a woman. I'm playing a woman. I'm playing a woman playing a woman. I'm a woman when I'm there. I can't explain it to you. I don't know what happens to me, but it's just some kind of magical thing. I think my mom's in on it. She always was mystical. She was always very powerful as a human being. And I just think I was supposed to do this thing. I always thought I'd play my dad because I do his voice and so much stuff. But it turned out that I was complete, as in life, you think you know where you're going, and you might get close to there, but this is where I was really meant to be right now.
Yeah. Well, I hear that we have audio drops we've taken from the show, not just because you're on today, but Mark and Trudy watch the show regularly, and they've got me watching it.
Thanks, Mark and Trudy.
and the drops make me laugh every time we play them. They fit a lot of places in the show, and they always make me laugh. The
Don't you have a Quiznos convention to get to?
USA Today one.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
I love it.
That was an ad lib.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, that's what's great about it, though. It's the person
they give me a lot of freedom.
Really? Is there a lot of... There must be a lot
Zach
of
and I on. Do one thing. We try to make each other laugh.
There's got to be a lot of great outtakes then, I would think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always tell Jonathan, use some of these. He goes, no.
Well, the other name that is involved in the show is Louis C.K. And we know what happened with Louis C.K. Have you been in touch with him? And what do you think about him coming back out and doing stand-up again? Because I love him. He's my favorite stand-up of all time.
I love him, too, and I don't want to see him go away.
I think, well, Louis did leave the show immediately because he was worried about us, and the show. I mean, this is a guy that really, was, part of the original thing. And then he was off the show, it just happened. And, of course, I've talked to him. I'll keep everything I talk to him private. That's my business. And, I feel terrible about every aspect of the whole thing. It's very emotional for me, so I don't get into all the specifics, except I feel terrible on all levels. This is a bad deal. It just was. And I was glad to see that he went and did stand up again, because when something like this happens, what do you do? What do you do? How long is the penance for? What do you have to do? I don't really have any answers to that. I have five sisters, and so I understand, what my sisters went through. And this, when I was growing up, there was lots of stuff that went on,
Yeah.
And I just don't talk about the specifics of the thing, except that I think he is a great stand-up.
Oh, yes.
I think he is a great stand-up, and I am sorry for the thing, and I feel very, very sorry for the victims, and my heart goes out to them, and I don't condone anything to happen, but, it's the sad thing for me is that that's always the topic.
Yeah.
You know, that people, they feel obligated where they have to get my take on it. You know, I wasn't involved in any of it, and I just accept that I, you know, had worked with them. So I just, you know, I feel emotionally, I get emotional about it. It's a sad thing. It's a rough thing. He has to work it out. He has to do his thing. I think everybody has the right to their opinion and the way to feel about it. And that's what's so great about this country. But,
well,
you know,
I'm like you,
makes.
We've had friends of the show who've gotten in trouble over the years. Friends in the show too. Mm-hmm. and it is. It's just sad. It just sucks. I mean, there isn't. I empathize with you because you probably do hear about it all the time, and it's just I don't know what to say.
I mean, yeah. I mean, thank you. And you know, if we discard everybody who makes terrible mistakes, we'll be down to three people.
Who?
I don't think I'll like them either.
Yeah, but I just mean, do we discard people for their mistake?
No.
I just don't. There's got to be a road to redemption.
Yeah, people are complex.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is they're complex, but they're one chromosome from an orangutan.
Well, they're complex too.
Yeah, but yeah. They're complex, but they did rip your arm off. I always hate those people you go to the zoo with, and they go, you know, that orangutan could rip your arm right off. I go, is that your first thought?
Why don't you say, no, he can't. He's behind glass.
Yeah.
He can't do anything.
Well, no, we were in there with him. We were playing cards. Anyway.
he lost 80,000 to him.
Yeah. No, you just go, you win. Anyway, that's it. Okay. I don't know.
I want to mention again Mark Ridley's 40th anniversary, and he's so excited that Louis is going to be part of this with shows January 11th and 12th, and then the actual anniversary is on the 18th of January at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And Louis, you're so kind to call in and help the show along and do this for Mark.
Mark's a great guy, huh?
He is a great guy, and he's brought a lot of laughs.
It's very, like people say to me, you're going to open a comedy club? I go, no. I go, that's the hardest. It's a 3-day-a-week business that you had to keep going for 7 days.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's basically a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday business.
Yeah.
You know, it just isn't, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's a very, very difficult business. And now they take all the money and it's just, you got to bring people who have TV credits. It used to be stand-up kind of was more organic. That people, you didn't have to be famous to get a crowd into your comedy club.
Yeah.
Well, you came up in the heyday of stand-up in the 80s. You mentioned Dangerfields and, you know, Carson. Do you still remember that first appearance on Carson? Do you remember every little thing? And how insanely nervous were you? Because the Tonight Show was make or break.
I was not nervous. I was so prepared.
Yeah.
Really?
I had 9 Tonight Show sets planned before I even got my first one.
Wow.
You know, I always hear that.
Because, you know, that, like, somebody said to me, well, you know, people say that could make or break you. And I go, could. I go, you know, I'll give you an example. 2 weeks before I did the Tonight Show, I was applying for jobs. Do you have AM, PM, mini markets where you guys are? You know, gas stations,
sure.
You know, that are, uh-huh. You know, little grocery stores and processed food centers. And so I was applying for jobs because I couldn't pay my rent doing stand-up. And so 2 weeks later, the guy, I got the Tonight Show. And I had gotten the job. I was supposed to start the day after the Tonight Show. And I called the guy and I said, listen, I'm not going to take the job. I got the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He goes, yeah, right. I go, well, give it a watch. I'll be on there tomorrow night. Oh, yeah. Okay, buddy. So I wasn't making any money. And so then I did the Tonight. So the guy called me, goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. You're a perfect guy, man. The job's still yours if you want it. It was very sweet, but it's that kind of thing. But my point is, the next night, I was in Vegas doing the Comedy Store at the Dunes Hotel. The week after that, I opened for the Comedy Store, the Commodores. On the Las Vegas Strip at Bally's Hotel. I was their opening act. My name was right underneath there.
Wow. Cool.
The week after that, NBC signed me to a six-figure holding deal. And that's how 3 out of 4 TVs that night that were on were tuned in to The Tonight Show.
Who else was on the show that night? I'm not saying you didn't bring all the TVs in.
Who cares?
Who cares? Who was on the show the other night? That's your question? No, I'm kidding you. Robert Blake and Selma Diamond. You always know.
Robert Blake. It really was Robert Blake.
Wow.
Yeah. Robert Blake and Selma Diamond. And I guess I try to explain that's the honest to God impact that night. And the next day people said, hey, I saw you on the Carson show. You know, I said, I didn't know what to say to people. Oh, yeah, that was me. And now step away from me, please. I think that sums it up, doesn't it? We really did go from. I mean, you had to be able to, you know, you had to be able to parlay the, you know, but I was very prepared. I said, I know what I'm doing here. I really was prepared. I worked every day of my short stand-up career. You know, I think I started in 78, October 10th. And so I did it in 84. So every day I had been working on my act, and I had, you know, like I say, 9 solid killer, in my mind, Tonight shows. And I got to do 6 of them that first year. Johnny really liked me. And it changed my, I mean, you know, it was definitely a launching pad. And then the Rodney Dangerfield thing, and then coming to America. And then, of course, finally Baskets. And now I'm hoping to play a man again someday.
don't forget those Sports Authority commercials. Those are great.
Ah, wow. There's a good story with that. The guy that owned it, I can't think of his name. I didn't want to do the commercials, you know.
Huh.
We flew to Vegas. I was playing at the Desert Inn, co-headlining with Natalie Cole.
Nice.
And he said, Louie, you got to do these commercials. I said, I don't want to do these commercials. He goes, you know, they pay me a lot of money, but I didn't really want to do them. He said, why don't you want to do them? I go, because I want to write them. If I can write them, I'll do them. If I can do what I want, I'll do them. And so then that was it. He said, you can write them. I don't care what you do. And so I wrote them and then did them. And he later told me he felt like they were responsible for them, you know, taking off and doing well.
For
ruining his business.
That would have been the joke.
But, you know, it was a big thing that, you know, sticking up for myself and wanting to do the, you know, because I didn't want to do some dumb, hey, Sports Day, just be care. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I was on a treadmill and I had a buffet, I think, on it.
Yeah.
I had a buffet all around it. And then I just tried to have fun and do my jokes. And
they were good.
Yeah, they were fun. And I did them, and then he wanted me to do another set. I think I did one more set, and then he wanted to rerun them. And you know, it was. I did a lot of cool things. I am humbled and so grateful. Somebody asked me, "Will you put a little thing together, so that we can kind of do a history of what you've done and all that kind of stuff?" And I wrote down some of it. And I said, shit, man, I did a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, you forget it when you're not in it, but you know, I'm so grateful.
You were on with Bill Maher on Real Time.
Yeah, that was so much fun, Bill.
And he was talking about your book, and of course, I was like, I've got to get your book. But you have several, right?
I have four books. Yeah,
four. Wow.
Look at that tie.
I was
going to
say the other thing from Maher, is that a Rolling Stones tie?
Yeah, you know, a fan gave me that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, you've been wearing it 20 years. They must be happy about that. Yeah. Who's thinking about
the
me
fan
again?
Or
the fan. The fan and the Stones.
The yeah. Stones, I love it too.
Well, you think the Stones are going, is that Louis wearing my tie? Shut up. Shut up. Mick, shut up. Mick. I'm leaving the band, Mick. Again? This is one of the shows I've always wanted to see. I regret not seeing them.
Hey, they're coming around.
Yeah,
they just announced a tour.
Yeah, they use that ammonia stuff to get them up. They just break a thing and they're like, you're on. I am. So I'd go see him again. It's amazing, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I just saw Rod Stewart. And he did the most fantastic show. In the middle of a show, he did about 45 minutes acoustic with some people sitting in chairs, you know, some other musicians. And they just did all of his acoustic songs.
Huh.
And, oh, my God, only did all of his hits. And he did it. You don't realize how much. And they sounded good, and then he kicked soccer balls into the crowd because he's a huge soccer fan. But
he had to stop.
You know.
He had to stop doing that after he was in Detroit, though.
Why, did he hurt someone?
Somebody tried to sue him, but I think he's still doing it. I think
he's still doing it. Yeah. That guy's never been seen again.
Hopefully not. He was faking.
Yeah.
We know that.
Well, you know what? It's really sad. Like, it is true. He's trying to do something good. But I'll tell you what, I did comment to the person who was with me. I go, you know, somebody's going to get hurt doing that. Because I'm a Midwesterner, and you know what Midwesterners like to do? Forecast bad thing.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
you know, when you go up there, watch that hill, that's treacherous. What? At the treacherous hill. You hear about Shirley? No. You don't even know who Shirley is. Well, she slid down that hill. Right on to Lake Michigan. And then she went too far on. There was roots that plunged right almost to her death. Luckily, a seal saved her. She always have an unrealistic ending. She laid there for 3 days. She would have died, but her cat brought her some kibbles and bits. What?
Louis Anderson at Mark Ridley's. Louis, thank you so much for your time.
You've given us
so much than we deserved, and it's just such a pleasure. I hope we can get you back sometime.
Never, but get a good job.
Thank you, Louis.
Thanks for being fans of Basket. And my book, Hey Mom, you will not be sorry that you bought it. It will change your relationship with your mom. I love it.
Thanks, Louie.
Do I get paid for that every time you do it?
Surprise!
Thanks
love
again.
Thank you, guys.
Love you, Louie.
Thanks, Louie.
You're the best.
Bye, Louie.
Oh boy!
Great.
What a blast!
I bought his book while he was talking.
You did, yeah.
Did?
I did. It's phenomenal.
He's got a signed version of it for $29.95.
And I love those easy interviews where you don't have to do anything.
Oh, isn't he a great storyteller?
Guys, yeah, yes, just keeps going.
Midwesterners are good at forecasting danger.
Seems very well adjusted for being through a lot of stuff in his career.
Oh my God! Yeah, I know. Well, whenever time he talks about his family, 16. Births.
Yeah.
Five sisters and brothers died at childbirth, but his mother gave birth to was it 10
11.
Kids survived? 11 kids survived. He's the 10th, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Father was an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he had that extortion thing and oof.
Yeah, he's had some tough gigs.
And that 80,000 he lost one night.
I know.
That's just awesome.